It was because God had taken them from this place where they had nothing, taken them through the desert and into a place where they had all these wonderful things God had given them, and they had to remember that, and that's why they were so thankful. Now, the question for us is, how do we stay thankful? How do we stay thankful? That's how the children of Israel were told to remember how to be thankful, even when they weren't living in booths in the desert, even when they weren't getting food miraculously from God and water. They remembered because they did these things. That's how they remembered. So I was thinking, how do we help each other remember? So this coming week, 4th of October following, the Jewish people will have their Feast of Tabernacles this year, as they understand it from the internet. And hope that's right. And I thought we could have a little thing we do for the week as well. Yeah? Good idea? Just help us remember. So, you know, I don't come home from my farm with my box of stuff. How many of you in this room have ever lived off the land that you have? You grow your own food and you've had to live from your own food. Stephen has. Chongor has. Jackie has. And pardon? Chimerezi, sorry, I missed you, Chimerezi. Chimerezi has. You know, basically, if you go out there every day and you're trying to grow your crops and they don't grow, and you think, oh dear, we've got no food this coming year, we're going to starve, how sad do you think you're going to be? So sad. You can't run down to the supermarket and say, right, I'm going to have a tin of something, can you? But how do you think you feel if you go to your fields and it's full of wonderful things, all the fruit and the vegetables and the crops and the cereals, and your animals are really nice and big and healthy and fat? How do you think you feel then? Yes. Pardon? Thankful. A little bit thankful. Yes. I think, what did you do? Did you mark the harvest when you had a good harvest? What did you do? Very happy. Chimerezi, what did you do when you had your harvest? Did you have a big harvest festival? And what did you do? Did you just have a celebration together? For a major crop?
Which is yam.
Yam, okay. You have a yam festival. Very good. Yes. Yam on toast. Yeah, of course, because that's really important. Chongor, do you have a big festival when your crop comes in? Yeah, in September.
Yes.
What's your main crop?
The main one is onions, carrots, potatoes.
Pun?
Grains.
Yeah. Fantastic. So we've got all these things, and Jackie could give her stories. I mean, you'd be really, really happy. Now, I don't come home with my box of stuff from my allotment because I don't have an allotment. That's a good reason. I used to have a bit of a patch at the bottom of our garden where I lived in the manse, and I still didn't come home with a big box of stuff because actually the plants would grow and then they just died. I think I had these big trees all over it, which took all the water and light and stuff like that, and they just died. But so I think I got kind of a couple little potatoes out of the ground, and they kept growing every year and then dying, so there's no use. For those who grow potatoes, they're a nuisance, aren't they? They keep coming up, don't they? You can't stop them. They just keep on coming. This is how we see our food, like that. How many of you get your food from a supermarket or a shop? I don't think about where it comes from when I buy it. I go, I want some baked beans, and I take those baked beans, and that's what I do. So how are we going to remember that God made things grow, and people did that work, and it's come to us, and we can enjoy it, and it's God's gift? And I want to suggest a little challenge to you. This week, I've got a whole bunch of these. I'd like everyone to take one of these. And on the top of this, it says, at the Harvest Thank You Challenge. And the first thing it says, thank you, God, for. And I want you to put a name of a food in there. And then as you go shopping, or as the shopping comes home from the shops, I want you to find out what it's made of. Go to the back of it and see what it's made of and see what's on the list of ingredients. And I want you to write those things down, all the ingredients down. And then I want you to thank God for each of those. And then on the bit of paper, I want you to write the things down here And I want you to draw a little picture or print off a little picture and stick it on or whatever you want to do. And next week, I'm going to try and get a board up against that wall there. When you come in, let's have a lovely big board of all these sheets of paper saying, God, thank you for these things. Does that sound like a good idea? Can you do that? Yeah. Right, so I'm going to ask somebody to put these on the hall stand for when you go out. Okay, don't forget it. Who'll do it? Thank you. Wonderful. Right. So bread, for instance, if my thing was bread, it doesn't have a label on it, actually, but I know what bread's made of. Who can tell me what things bread's made of? And there's a lot of adults itching to tell you, everyone, but I think we're going to keep it to under maybe 15, yeah? Yes. One thing it's made of. Flour. What sort of flour? Wheat. Usually wheat, but it can be different things, yeah? Something else is made of? Yeast, very good. Something else is made of? Actually, did you know that we make it quickly these days? Because we have a special way of making yeast ferment quickly, but in the olden days, the yeast would just be naturally on the stuff, and you just had to leave it to ferment a lot longer. Yes? What else goes in here? Anyone know? Pun? Milk. Well, you can put milk in, that's true. You don't have to put milk in. But you can use milk, but what's the big thing in milk that you needed to make bread with? What's most of milk made of? Pardon? Grass. Well, actually, I was going to say water. You can put your grass in your bread if you want to, but water, lots of water. Yeah, cows eat grass, I realise that. Yeah, cows eat grass. I did put the link together, it was a good link, but... Okay, so we've got flour, wheat flour, we've got yeast, we've got water. What else goes in here? Salt. Bit of salt. What else goes in here? Sugar. Fat. Some fat. So here we go. So you've got your... Ooh, that's interesting. Why is that coming up like that again? We've got wheat. I hope that doesn't click through every time. That'd be even a bit annoying. So wheat... It grows like that in the fields, and we can see it down around where we live down there. And when it dries out, you then beat out the seeds. You can grind out the wheat to make the flour. Oh. Yeast. Yeast. Yeast is a fungus. It's like your mushrooms and things. Yeah. But it puts lovely bits of bubbles into the bread. What's that then? I thought I'd erased all those. Right. Right, so what's that then? Sugar. You can either get it from beet, which grows under the ground, or you can grow it from those sugar cane, which grows in hot countries. I just thought, actually, they must have made it with that date syrup, mustn't they, in Israel? Hadn't thought about that before. Interesting. Wonder what bread tastes like with date syrup. Be interesting. Must try that sometime. Right, let's try again. Salt. And salt is made by evaporating water from salty water, and you get salt out of it. And sometimes it happens naturally, and people have to collect it up and market it. So there's your salt. Water. And that's your lot, I think, I hope. Right. So, do the challenge this week. Is that all right? You know what you're doing? Is it clear? And then we can say, God, thank you very much because you've given us all these wonderful things that we can eat. That's it in John 7. And because the whole story of tabernacles is just remembering, isn't it? God's provision, how God rescued people, brought them from slavery and brought them into freedom. And the children of Israel did celebrate that every year. They celebrated that God brought them from slavery to freedom. And they'd have these days of celebration in the temple every year. And Jesus went up to the temple that one year. And it says on the last day of the feast, we don't know if that's the last day as in the seventh day, or whether it's a celebration on the eighth day, which just finishes off. But the official thing was only 7 days. But in the celebration... The priests, they would go down to the pool and they would collect water and they'll come back and they would pour the water over. They would pour the water over the pavement in the temple, and it would flow down. And that, of course, was to symbolize, to remind them that in the desert, God provided water for them. And God gave them the water that would cause, would enable them to keep living. And so what Jesus does in that temple, in that celebration, remembering how God takes people like you and me and takes us from a place of slavery and says, I want to take you to a place of freedom and plenty. And of course, the slavery, the real slavery, is the slavery we have inside here, which is the thing which is those things which keep us from God, our sins, the things we do wrong, the way we ignore him, the things which tie us up. And God wants to say, I want to take you from that slavery, which is going to ruin your life and will mean you won't have any eternal life with me in glory. And God wants to take us from that slavery and bring us to the freedom of knowing him and being his children and having this thing inside us that says, I'm a child of God. And that's the biggest gift. And so Jesus comes out after as probably as the priests are pouring this water out, and he stands up and he says in a loud, loud voice. So it says on the last, the most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, whoever is thirsty should come to me. Whoever believes in me should drink. And we're going to just hand out some little bits of water today, little mugs of water today for you to drink. And as you drink, I want you to remember that what God's done, which is far more important than feeding us physically, is he's satisfied what we need in here. He's fed us spiritually. He's given us his spiritual food. That's Jesus, and Jesus' gift on the cross. And he's given us that spiritual water that refreshes us, which is in Jesus. And I want you to take your drink, and as you drink it, whatever you said thank you for up here, as you drink it, I want you to be saying, thank you very much, Lord Jesus, that you've given me freedom, and that you've given me your living water that I'll never lose, which will be with me forever. It will refresh me. And if you haven't yet found God through Jesus, if you haven't yet found that Jesus is somebody who can give you that spiritual food inside, all the harvest of the spiritual blessings, and haven't found Jesus as somebody who can refresh your thirst spiritually, then I just ask you this morning to say to Jesus, as I drink this, Lord Jesus, I want to take you, I want to receive you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. And I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to come into my life, and I want you to be my Lord and God. It actually finishes the next verse, which talks about this water welling up from us and pouring out. And when we have that life, brothers and sisters, this is something we share with others, we give to others, we bless this world with it. So please drink, and we'll be quiet, maybe just a little bit of light music in the background, just so we have a little drink and reflect and give thanks.